Just think this way. I want you to still this around in your brain, because you're not going to have more clarity than that until you have the rest of the pieces to put the whole thing together. Here's the next piece.
Why is two the same at the bottom, though? Why are they both?
They're not.
You're reading them wrong.
That's got it. So you get
the
points
in the right place. Can I just ask one question?
Yeah. Theorem is Chris's writing on the flip chart. Yeah. So let's take John Andre is confused.
Good.
Okay, what's the inverse?
The inverse?
Not John Andre is confused.
The inverse is
John Andre is not
confused.
John Andre is not confused.
What's the converse?
The converse is
not John Andre.
Not John Andre is confused. What's the non-mirror image reverse? Yeah.
Not John Andre
is not confused. Yeah.
I get it. Hold on. You go, the not John Andre is not confused. So basically, you see the problem is that the not of the is the round me is not confused.
You're
he's got a big
right,
picture.
Right, hold on.
Class.
So then you go.
He's getting a flash of big picture, but he doesn't have the whole big picture. I'll try this one on. Confusion's the problem.
Confusion's the problem.
Oh. Okay. So now we're supposed to do that with it?
Yeah. What's the inverse of that?
The inverse is confusion.
Confusion is not the problem.
Confusion is not the problem. What's the converse?
Not confusion is the problem.
Okay. And what's the non-mirror image reverse?
Not confusion is not the problem. Okay.
Well, that's true, isn't it? Not confusion is not the problem.
Not so. Confusion.
It's everything else. So what are you pretending not to know in order to have known that that was a problem?
That I'm not confused.
If not confusion is not the problem.
If not confusion is
No, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Here's the next piece. Here's the next piece.
Does this improve the IQ?
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful out there. This is what it's like in California on the beach when you come and join us for a training. We have beautiful sunsets, don't we? I know, it is amazing. Here, let's keep going. So symbolic logic, predicate calculus. This is the glue that's going to hold your language together. Symbolic logic, predicate calculus, words like and, or, not equal to, if, then, less than, greater than, either, or, neither, nor, equivalent to, cause and effect, universals, quantifiers, or all of this is the glue that's going to hold your language together. That's all you need to know right now. So those are going to be useful for us too, as well as chunking in the hierarchy of ideas. Remember, what are the questions we ask to chunk up? What questions do we ask to chunk up?
For what purpose?
Yeah. For what purpose? What is the intention, or what is this an example of, is going to get us to chunk up? So if you want to chunk up on car, if you want to chunk up on the word car, If you want to chunk up on the word car, what questions would you need to ask?
For what purpose,
exactly. What else?
What is the intention?
And there's one more. What is this an example of? So if we chunk up one level on car, what do we get?
Transportation.
If we chunk up one level on transportation, what do we get? Movement or activity. And if we chunk up to that, we could chunk all the way up to existence.
Energy, yeah.
Now, if we chunk down on car, like if somebody brought you a car and they had a problem with it and they said, hey, I need to chunk down. They said, hey, here's this. I've got a problem with my car. What would you need to do in order to help them? Chunk down. So what questions would you ask to gain more specificity?
What
specifically is the problem? And they might say, well, it's the wheel. Well, what specifically about the wheel? Well, it's the hubcap. What specifically about the hubcap? Well, the lug nuts are missing. Okay, the more specific we get, the more we're going to chunk down on car, right? Now, I'm not looking at a specific page. We're just looking at a slide right now, okay? Okay, they may have the hierarchy of ideas there. We're just giving an overview. We're not going to go real in-depth into these concepts. We're just talking about things that we're familiar with and some things that we're not. I'm just giving you the bits and pieces right now. All of this stuff is going to be beneficial for formulating our quantum linguistics types questions. So remember, If we're chunking up, we're going to ask the questions, for what purpose, what is the intention, or what is this an example of? If we're chunking down, we're going to ask, what or whom specifically, or what are examples of this? Those are the types of questions that we can ask ourselves. And the hierarchy of ideas is going to be important in terms of formulating quantum linguistics patterns, as well as inductive and deductive language. We talked about the difference between deduction and induction. Deduction is chunking down, like Sherlock Holmes, trying to find out who created the big picture crime. Induction is working from the inside and then working one's way out, like discovering the big picture, like you don't have the big picture yet, if you could imagine that. And you're getting bits and pieces. And you're like going to formulate your own big picture. That's an example of induction. If you could imagine that. Induction can be frustrating sometimes for some people. Yes. What? Chunking down, or what specifically, or what are examples of this?
It's right there.
So, these are the pieces of quantum linguistics. We're gonna be working with all of these concepts. The first thing that we need to work a little bit more with, or get a firmer grasp on, is something that we all know, but we're gonna get a firmer grasp on it. We know this from our practitioner training. So the first thing to take a look at is linguistic presuppositions. Now, there's many things that we can do with presuppositions in language. First thing we can do is we can recognize them in a client speech, or we can utilize them to create internal representations that we want within the client. But let's get a little bit more familiar with these. Although we already know them, we're just going to recover these once again quickly. Presuppositions. Like the first type of presupposition, and that's just an assumption inherent underneath somebody's speech, tells us what's behind what it is that they're thinking. The first presupposition would be a presupposition of existence. For example, if I say, John knew there was a mountain behind the house, there are certain things that are presupposed or assumed that exist in that sentence. What things are presupposed there?
The house,
the mountain, and John. Right? So all of those things are presupposed that they exist. So those are all presuppositions of existence. They're contained within the sentence. And in order to make sense of that sentence, we have to assume that John exists, the house exists, and the mountain exists. Now, a presupposition of possibility is like if I were to say, John knew there was a mountain behind the house, and that caused him to realize that he would climb it. Presupposed within that sentence is the possibility that he can climb it. Now, there's lots of presuppositions of existence as well. So anytime we presuppose one thing, there's often other presuppositions inherent in the sentence. But the major presuppositional construction there is the possibility. So John knew there was a mountain behind the house, and that caused him to realize he would climb it. Yeah, there's also a cause and effect presupposition there. But it's presupposed within that sentence that it's possible to climb the mountain. Yeah. The next one is a cause and effect. So John knew there was a mountain behind the house. I'll use the same sentence. And that caused him, caused being the operational word, that caused him to want to climb it. There's a presupposition of cause and effect in that sentence. There's also the presupposition of the existence of John, the existence of house, the existence of the mountain. Okay, but the very fact that I have the word cause in there. By the way, here's some tip-offs. In terms of existence, for presuppositions of existence, the tip-off is nouns. Anytime you hear a noun in a sentence, there's a presupposition of existence contained within that sentence. Anytime you hear modal operators of possibility or necessity, like can, should, need to, must, have to, get to, words like that are presuppositions of possibility or impossibility. So those are one tip off for presuppositions of possibility or impossibility. Cause and effect, if you hear the word cause, or makes, or made, that made him want to climb it, or that caused him to want to climb it. Or John wanted to climb the mountain behind the house because it was there. That's a presupposition of cause and effect. Complex equivalence. The very fact that there was a house behind the house meant that John would one day climb it. Anytime that you hear the word means or meant, or you say that one thing means another, you know there's a presupposition of complex equivalence. Here's another one. That's not apparently obvious, or not immediately obvious. John is a banker. John is a banker is a presupposition of complex equivalence. Anytime you hear the verb to be,